whenever people think about an upcoming new year, sometimes their first thought is, oh no, another year older, another year more breaking down, and I got one foot in the grave already, and I'm about to have both feet in the grave. Sometimes people look with trepidation at the future. But sometimes, most people, they think of the new year as, okay, I need to set some new goals. I need to have some new plans for the new year. I need to set some resolutions, and they often say that resolutions are made to be broken. So many times people, they make a New Year's resolution, and within the first day, within the first week or two, it's already fallen by the wayside, and they don't even give it another thought by the time they're through the month of January. And people set New Year's resolutions in many different areas of life, many different categories. Sometimes people decide they want to spend more time with family in the new year. I read of someone who, that was his goal, and then pretty soon, He found out that his father had decided to marry his brother's mother-in-law. And now he says, I can't make up my mind whether it's my father or my father-in-law. And I can't decide if my mother is, if she is now my mother-in-law or my stepmother. And I can't decide whether my child is my daughter or my niece. So sometimes spending more time with the family is not all that it's cracked up to be. Sometimes people make a resolution that they're going to start that diet. They're going to finally lose weight. There were two ladies, Kimberly and her friend, and they decided they were going to lose some pounds together. They were going to work on it together. And she said, the other said, good, I'm going to start a diet too. And we can be dieting buddies. We can help each other out. So whenever I feel the urge to get out and go get a burger and fries, I'll call you. And the other said, oh, good, I'll ride with you then. So that didn't quite work out the way that they had planned. Sometimes people decide they're going to reduce their debt in the new year. And there was a family that the husband and wife were having a disagreement over money. Whenever one would decide to do something, the husband would decide to do something, the wife would, you know, pull back on that and vice versa. And one day they'd decided about building a patio, and you know, the wife wanted more and more, and the husband wanted less expense, and the wife won out, and this grand patio gets built. So a neighbor came over one day and was watching as they're finishing it up, and they're smoothing out the concrete that they've just poured. And the husband's got a big grin on his face and couldn't figure it out. He said, you know, I thought that your wife went out here and that you spent a whole lot more money than you wanted to. And he says, yeah, but you see that wet concrete? I just threw all my wife's credit cards in there. And so they are getting buried forever going forward. By the way, when I heard that, I thought, well, at least I'm glad he didn't bury his wife in the concrete. So at least their marriage can continue. Sometimes people, they want to try new things in the new year. Heard of someone that wanted to try something new, wanted to join a talent show. And she was asking her mother, do you think that I should sing or put on a comedy act for the talent show? And the mother said, what's the difference? So anyway, maybe you can try some new things this year. Sometimes people decide they want to become more organized in the new year. And there was a lady that had, there was a man that he wanted to be more organized. Whenever his wife was around, things just weren't going just the right way. Things were kind of disheveled. And so he decided, when she's gone, I'm going to put this into practice, and I'm going to be more organized. So he told someone, yeah, I made a cake when she was gone. I made a cake and I frosted it. And then, you know, I washed the kitchen windows. I cleaned all the cupboards. I scrubbed the kitchen floor. I cleaned the walls, the ceiling, and I even had a bath. And the friend said, wow, you are, you know, you're getting pretty organized. You're getting a lot done. He said, yeah, well, what happened was when I was making the chocolate frosting, I forgot to turn off the mixer before taking the beaters out of the bowl. And so it went everywhere and I had to do all the rest. So what is your 2021 going to look like? Do you have something that you, a box that you're trying to check off? I want to be better in this. I want to do better in that. And people have so many different types of New Year's resolutions that they shoot for. Some of them are mundane. Some of them are very secular. They don't really have anything to do with God. They don't have anything to do with eternity. And whatever you and I do in the new year, we're going to call it sowing. Whatever you do, you will be sowing seeds of something. And eventually, you are going to reap whatever you sow. Whenever you decide that you want to make any changes in your life, then you're going to be sowing to the future in some way. The question is, what are you going to decide to sow in the new year? Hope that your whole new year is not just so-so, by the way. But I want to read a verse, Psalm 119, verse 37. The psalmist says, "Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way." When so many people make New Year's resolutions, if you were to boil it down, you would say this ultimately is vanity. Now, there's nothing wrong with losing weight and getting organized and getting out of debt. But when someone's in eternity, when someone's in heaven for all of eternity, if they're going to look back, do you think that they will be glad that they lost a certain amount of weight? Do you think they'll be glad that they got all their ducks in a row, that they got their house organized? In all of eternity, we're going to look back on so much that we did and say, that was vanity. And the psalmist in 119 says, "God, I pray that you would turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. Help me not to waste my time by chasing after the wind, by chasing after things that are not going to amount to a hill of beans for all of eternity." Sometimes when we make decisions and resolutions and we order our lives, there are easy decisions and there are hard decisions. And this is not always the case, but so many times the hard decision is the better one. And that's all of life. It's easy to eat chocolate cake and milkshakes, but it's hard to discipline yourself and eat correctly. And with so many things as far as ordering our lives spiritually with discipline, it's the hard decision that needs to be made. I want to read something that I read from a book called 101 Tips for Teaching by Mark Rasmussen. It says, "Seldom are worthwhile accomplishments achieved in life without a conscientious effort being put forth. There is a price to pay when one decides to be consistent in exercise in either the spiritual or physical realm. There is a price to pay to graduate from high school. There is a price to pay to graduate from college. There's a price to pay to memorize scripture and to be truly devoted to reading and studying. There's a price to pay to have a good marriage. There's a price to pay when one chooses to rear children over letting them rear themselves. There's a price to pay when one truly decides to be soul conscious and to pray more. There's a price to pay when one truly wants to learn God's word. There's a price to pay when one decides to learn and be edified by every message that is heard. There are prices to pay in the accomplishment of any worthy goal. It is the job of the instructor to help the learner understand that nothing good will ever come without a price. Choosing what is right over that which is easy is always the difficult choice. It runs contrary to human nature. However, when people begin to see the results of choosing that which is right over that which is easy, there can truly be a change in one's life direction." I thought that was very instructive and helpful, that so many times the decision that God wants us to make is the right decision, but it's not easy. It's difficult, and that's why it's the road less traveled. That's why very few people do the things that are right, because they are difficult, because it requires paying some kind of a price. And so this year, whatever you decide to do, you're going to be sowing, and one day you're going to reap. Sometimes you can reap the next day or immediately. Sometimes it'll take years. Sometimes it won't be until heaven, until eternity, that you reap what you have sown. But you will always reap whatever you sow. Hosea 8, verse 7 says, "For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8, it says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." And one of the greatest places that every Christian, if you're here today and you're a child of God, one of the greatest places that every Christian will reap is at the judgment seat of Christ that the Bible talks about. We're all going to stand before God, stand before Jesus one day, and we will receive, we will reap for whatever we have sown in our lives. What would happen if you were to achieve your goal in life and then stand before God? What would that be like? Would God say, "Wow, you had a worthy goal and you went after it and you achieved it. Well done." Or if you achieved your wildest dreams in life, would you stand before God and God said, "Why did you chase after that? That was worthless. That's done. That's gone forever." What are your goals like? And if you were to achieve all of your goals, would you be able to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," from God? Or would you find out that you've wasted your life? Because everyone's going to stand before God. Hebrews 9:27 says, "And as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment." After this, we're not annihilated. After this, it's not all fun and games. After this, we stand before Jesus. Romans 14, verse 10 says, "But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." When you stand before God someday, it's just going to be you. Your father or your mother or your pastor, your children, your coworkers, your neighbors. Nobody else will give account to God for you. It's going to be you and God. We won't be able to hide behind anyone else. Everything is going to be open and exposed, and we will give account of ourselves to God. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Is 2021 going to be filled in your life with good, that you'll receive from the Lord good for that? Or will your life be filled with bad? Are you going to be walking away from God? Are you going to be doing your own thing? Are you going to be chasing after the things of the world and then receive for that one day when you stand before God? We need to lay up treasures in heaven. And in order to do that, we need to set goals for the judgment seat. What do you want it to be like at the judgment seat of Christ one day? Do you want to hang your head in shame? Do you want to be embarrassed? Do you want to be discouraged because you wasted your life? Or do you want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? Three fast thoughts this evening before we're done. Number one, you need to decide what you want to do. You need to set a goal. Maybe you can call it a New Year's resolution. Maybe you can just call it a decision that you want to make for God. Maybe you can call it a promise. Maybe God is calling you to make him a promise to do something. But you need to decide what you want to do. By the way, whenever we decide whatever we want to do, we should always have it line up with God. God, what do you want me to do? And then we need to decide, God, I'm going to do what you want me to do. Maybe in the next year, you want to read through the Bible all the way through, maybe even for the first time. Maybe you want to read something in the Bible every day this year. Maybe that's the goal. Maybe you don't make it all the way through, but you read something, whether it's one chapter, whether it's a few verses, whether you read until you hear God speak to you. But every single day, you don't want to miss a day because God's worth it. Maybe God's laid on your heart that every day I want to read something in God's Word. Maybe you want to memorize scripture in the next year. Maybe a certain amount of scripture. Maybe a certain chapter or passage. Maybe a whole book of the Bible. Maybe you want to memorize scripture like never before in the upcoming year. Maybe you've never been baptized as a Christian, and this is the year that you want to obey the Lord in that area. Maybe you want to lead someone to the Lord. Maybe for the first time. Maybe you've never helped someone to see the plan of salvation and how they can be saved. And say, God, I want to do that this year. I want to lead someone to Christ. Help them to be discipled. Maybe you want to grow in your own personal knowledge of God. Maybe you want to grow in your faith, in your prayer life, in some spiritual discipline. Maybe you want to give a certain amount to the Lord this year. Maybe you want to even maybe tithe for the first time ever. Maybe even ever for a whole year. Tithe, giving God 10% of your income. And listen to 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 21. My father, Evangelist Steve Piggott, just mentioned this verse on Sunday, but I want to read it very quickly. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. If God is worth following, and according to the Bible, he is. If God is worth following, then we need to follow him. How long are we going to hem-haw back and forth in our Christian lives between, well, do I really want to follow God? Do I really want to get serious about church and about fellowship with God and fellowship with his people? Do I really want to get serious about reading his word and praying and sharing the gospel? Or you want to just take it or leave it? If he is worth it, and if you're going to stand before him and give account, and if he will reward you generously for all eternity, if you'll put him first, why don't we put him first this year? Maybe you can have some spiritual discipline that you put right at the top of your list and say, God, this year I am going to do this well. Maybe for the first time, maybe for the best that you've ever done it before. So number one, make a decision for God. Number two is count the cost to reaching that decision. Determine what steps are necessary to reaching that goal. As we read earlier, every good decision, there's some cost to achieve it. And it is no less different in any Christian discipline in life. Listen to Luke chapter 14. If you want to take your Bibles, I want to read a longer passage from verses 26 through 33. To accomplish anything in life, by the way, requires taking certain steps to that end. If someone wants to win a gold medal in an Olympic sport, there are specific steps that need to be taken. You don't just show up to the Olympics the day of. You've been spending all your time as a couch potato, watching TV, eating potato chips, and then you roll off the couch onto the starting line and you win the gold medal. No one's ever done that. And that will never be done. There are certain steps in order to achieve any goal. And listen to what Jesus says in Luke 14, verse 26. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me, cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first, and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage, and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you, that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Jesus gives some striking words here. He says all of us should follow him. He calls to people, come, follow me, be my disciple. But before you do it, count the cost and know what is involved. And if you're not willing to give up everything for Jesus, you cannot be his disciple. So don't just flippantly make a decision. Say, oh, I'm going to do this. Before you embark on that journey, stop and count the cost. Is this worthwhile doing? Yes, it's worthwhile. But to get there, I need to give up something. I need to deny myself. That is a huge chunk of the Christian life, is self-denial. Learning how to say no to yourself. You got to do this before you go to bed tonight and first thing when you wake up in the morning. Just walk up to a mirror. And by the way, do you like what you see when you look in the mirror? Hope you do. But look yourself in the mirror and just say, no. You know, like you're telling a dog, disobedient dog or a little child, no. Just look yourself in the mirror and just say that a few times. No. I want to do this. No. And we need to learn how to deny ourselves when we're faced with temptation. When we say, you know, I really want to do this for God, but I don't feel like right now, but I really want to do that. That's fun. Look yourself in the mirror and say no. We need to learn how to deny ourselves. Listen to Matthew 8 and verse 19. A certain scribe came and said unto him, to Jesus, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. In other words, somebody said, hey, Jesus, wherever you go, I'm in. I'll follow you anywhere. And Jesus says, you will? By the way, I'm homeless. If you're going to follow me, you're going to also take on somewhat of a life of homelessness. Do you still want to follow me? It's not told. It just goes on to another person. But I think in between the lines, we can see that that person kind of maybe fell away. Oh, I have to live like that. I have to have no money. I have to give up my job. And so maybe not. I think I'll actually just do something else. We need to learn how to count the cost. But know this, that whatever cost it is, you will far outgain it in eternity and maybe even in this life. You will never give up anything for God and regret it for all of eternity. So make a decision for God and then count the cost. This is going to require discipline. This is going to require self-denial. It's going to require something of me. And I'm willing to do that. And then number three, do step one right now. Make a decision. You know, just spend some time in prayer. God, what do you want me to do this year? Is there a long-term decision over the course of a year that you want me to do? And then lay out what is this going to require? And then do step one right now. Just get started. If it's worthwhile doing, why is it not worthwhile doing right now? What's the reason that we always have to put it off, that we always have to wait? Sometimes people often say, don't do today what you could put off till tomorrow. And then eventually people say, don't do tomorrow what you could put off altogether. And the road of procrastination eventually leads to doing nothing. It starts with laziness. It starts with doing little. It starts with doing it late. And eventually human nature takes over and we do nothing. So destroy procrastination in your life and do step one of whatever God's called you to do. Do step one as quickly as possible, because the longer you delay, the more probability there is that you'll put it off altogether and you won't do anything. Last verse I want to read is Proverbs 4:26, verse that I've read several times before, and it's really meant a lot to me in my life. I haven't always done the right thing with it. It says, ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Right now, you and I are on a path. Your feet, the choices you're making, the lifestyle you're living, you are on a path. And to ponder the path of your feet means think about where that path is going. Know this, that every path has a destination. There's so many people that are surprised one day when they reach the destination. You know that you never climb upstairs, up, 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 and then all of a sudden you find yourself at the bottom of a valley. When you're going up and up and up, eventually you find yourself high. But if you're going down, 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 eventually you hit rock bottom. So if you're going down, 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 and you're hoping to get to the top, don't be surprised when all of a sudden one day you find yourself at rock bottom, because that's the path that your feet were on. Right now, where are you headed? And know that if you don't change course, you are going to find that destination. And so for 2021, ask yourself this: God, what do you want me to do? And make a decision. Okay, God, I'm going to do this. This is important. I'm going to do it. And then just lay it out. Maybe write a list of things that are going to be necessary. Maybe a time frame. And then start as quickly as you can. Step one. Because you're on a destination. And by the way, all of us, the destination, if you're saved, the destination is the judgment seat of Christ. What's that going to be like for you? What will that be like for me? Will you say, oh, if I could only go back and get one more chance? But at that point, it's too late. It's appointed a man wants to die. You only get one shot at life, and then you stand before God. And I want to finish with this thought. Maybe you're here today and you don't even know for sure if you will be in heaven someday. Do you know for sure that all of your sins are forgiven, that you have a home waiting for you in heaven? The Bible talks about the book of life, where names are written down. Is your name written in the book of life? It is or it isn't. There's no half written. There's no maybe. And if you don't know that for sure, then you can even today, even right now as you listen, call on the name of the Lord. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Say, Jesus, I believe that I'm a sinner. I believe that I deserve hell. I don't deserve heaven. And if you've ever done anything wrong, then you don't deserve heaven. I don't deserve heaven. Nobody deserves heaven. We all deserve hell. But God has made a way through Jesus for us to get what we don't deserve, because Jesus paid for us the price that he didn't deserve. He took our sin upon him. He died on the cross so that we could be forgiven. And the way to be forgiven is simply to say, Jesus, will you forgive my sin and save me? Best decision you could ever make. And what a way to start 2021 is redeemed from your sin, is saved. If you don't know that for sure, I'd encourage you today, even today, pray that prayer. Lord, forgive me, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me and let me into heaven. I hope that you are looking forward to 2021 with joy. So many times right now, people are, they're still surrounded by the coronavirus. They're surrounded by financial insecurity, health problems, and 2020 was a disaster and they feel like it's just going to continue. Don't be that way. Why don't you have hope in Jesus that he's going to make 2021 the best year ever? And there are things that you can do yourself to help make 2021 the best year ever. Make a decision for Jesus. There's nothing wrong with losing weight and getting organized, but don't make all of your New Year's goals and desires and dreams stuff that's vanity, that won't matter for all of eternity. Make a decision for God. Whatever the Lord's leading you, whatever the Lord's laying on your heart, say, God, I'm going to do this. Count the cost and do step one right now. Let's pray together.